dress.
I know there's always this big fight about, well, I have a right to look like anything I want. The truth is, you need doctor camouflage. You need doctor drag. Because most people believe that you ought to look a certain way. You know how if you're in the emergency medicine business, all your friends want to tell you their emergency medicine story, don't they? You ever been someplace where they didn't want to do that? They know what you're doing. I was on the plane yesterday. The guy saw me reading the annals. So, well, you're a doctor? Yeah. What do you do? Emergency medicine? God, I got to tell you this story. Well, I get a phone call from one of our attorneys. He's just been out in California, and I'm from the Midwest, the understated Midwest. You know, we're conservative in all issues in the Midwest. And here's a guy who's now taking his child into a hospital in Los Angeles. And I said, well, what did you think of the experience? And the first thing he said was, the doctor had purple hair. And I told him, well, in California, those are Republicans. Okay. But the doctors who sell a true psychosexual product, who are the plastic surgeons, you all understand that, right? Who do they take care of? Insecure women at the 95% level. Do they dress beautifully? Gorgeous. Exactly. And the truth is, in fact, I'll just tell you a little story. I had a child, this is in Ann Arbor, gin and jaguar town, very rich people. This daughter, had 7 years old, had a cut on her face that I needed to put my lenses on to see. And now who does she want? Plastic surgeon. I'll tell you what, my ego problems with that have all dissipated. They're all gone away. If you want that, baby, you got it. So I make a phone call, because I'd seen my friend walk through in Greens. He was going to the OR. And I said, Paul, I've got a child down here with a cut. I'm embarrassed to tell you this. He says, oh, not a problem. He asked me the important two questions. Has she eaten recently? I said, yeah, probably not for several hours. He says, does she understand she'll get a separate bill, not part of the ER charge? And I said, yes, we had that discussion. So he comes down in a $2,000 Armani suit. Is he good looking? He's like an Adonis. Is his wife good looking? Well, he built his own wife. Of course she's good looking. Really, that's his showroom. You know, hi, what do you think? And of course, to put in 260 nylon sutures, he gowns. He gloves. He has a nurse to help cut the strings. And then he says things like, there. You know, so the family left, and I said, Paul? He said, yeah, and I went. He says, stop. He says, I'm sending her a bill for $650 for the placement of two little tiny sutures. By the way, would I have been able to put in the sutures if it had been midnight? I'd become the best plastic surgeon in the world at midnight. But he was there in the hospital. He gets his $650, and as he says, when you charge like I do, they've paid for the show. That's exactly right. Just understand, we're not the only people involved in this, and the other specialties understand it perfectly well. Getting the issue out on the table. What can I help you with today? I can't tell you the number of times I walk into the room and there's been interaction with the resident and the nurse and all this sort of thing. And I'll just say to the patient after we've introduced ourselves, what did you actually want us to do today? What would you like accomplished in this visit? What would make you happy when you leave? Heaven forbid we would actually, in a service industry, give service. What do you want? And you know, that opens up all kinds of discussions because sometimes they're afraid to tell you what they actually want. Well, I need a work slip. Okay. But at least now we know what it is. I'm not sure how many of you saw my Egypt talk at National ASAP, but I have found the first work slip in the history of man, written 2600 BC. And basically what it says when you translate it, it loosely translates, it says, can Sabu have the day off at the pyramid? That's right, the pyramid of Djoser, because he's got a back strain. This was a back strain thing. And then there's a bunch of stuff at the bottom we can't understand. It looks like he changed the date on the work slip. Creating conflicts, words better not said. Understand that you and I speak a language of 10,000 words approximately called medicalese. They don't speak this language, and it has nothing to do with their intelligence level. I went around this room and I asked you, well, let me just try. Doctor, do you know the difference between the Pittman arm and the idler arm on your steering? No, do you? No. And you know what? There's kids in the 10th grade here in the auto shop class who know exactly what I mean by that. This is a language exposure question. It is not an intelligence question. But when you're making certain kinds of comments, understand patients don't understand what the words are. Just pretend at that moment in time you are speaking to your teenage child. I don't care who they are. And you need to make them understand the issues and the questions, because all it does is cause conflicts. And what do they say? He never told me anything. Classic line out of every deposition. By the way, time. Anticipating guidance, everybody wants to know time. Walt Disney has done the best studies on this. When you're in line at the Tower of Terror, and it says you're 25 minutes from the tower, are you 25 minutes? No. You're how much? Well, 17. You're absolutely right. Why? Because you always overestimate time, because then you've set a performance standard that you can always beat. Right? Always under-promise and over-perform. A rule of life. Under-promise, over-perform every time. Now, when you're sending off that urine pregnancy to the lab and they come back in an average of 45 minutes, always say it'll be back in an hour. Now when it's back in a half hour, they think, these people are right on the money. They're moving right through, and that's what they honestly believe. You've overperformed. I've never had one woman in 30 years say to me, hey, that's a two-minute test. How come I'm here for 30 minutes? I've never had anybody say that in my entire career. Why? Because, and if they do ever say that, what's the answer? Quality control, ma'am. Patient safety. You see, you throw those two into any conversation, you're a winner. But always, always with time, overestimate the time. What happens in the middle on these things? Keep the patient moving. Entertain them with anything you want, but give them something to do. That's why it's always good if they've got a wound, and it's going to be a while till we get to them, numb it up, let them wash out their own wound. Then they can never say it was not cleaned, right? Give them something to do. You want them involved in the care, and all the studies say they don't want to manage the care. They just want to be involved in the care. So whatever you give them to do, just make sure you do it. And checking up in between, lick and promise medicine about, yes, I know, I'm going to go back and check your films right now. They love that. Have the volunteer go in. Have them call their mother at home. Anytime you can get something being done, it diverts them from time. Time, by the way, in the Einsteinian equation, is the variable, right? Einstein never said everything is relative. He was not an abject relativist. What he said was time was the variable, the speed of light was the constant, right? I mean, that's what the equation says. The variable is time. It's how you entertain them to decide whether they think the time has been well spent or not. I'm very big right now on recheck with families. Give them a phone. Always block out long-distance calls, but we just let them use the phone in the room, call anybody they want. Now, is that a pain? Sure, sometimes. It's a little bit of a pain, but the patients love it. And what it really does is allows them to organize their life on the outside. So if they need somebody to pick them up, if they have to go to Dr. So-and-so's office, if they have to go to these other things, always give them an option to start arranging their life. See, we pretend like you don't have a life outside the emergency department. Most people do. Next, putting out the call for their doctor. Again, my ego is now totally devoid of any problem with this. When I was young in emergency medicine, somebody would come in, I'd say, what do you mean call that guy? Okay, I'm the doctor now. What are you worried about? The man's here now. Okay? That guy? Don't think about it. Now, whenever I can use the family doctor or any other consultant they want, I use them to my advantage. They want a call put out, I put out a call. Can I always reach them? No, but I can honestly say we tried. In fact, they say, call Dr. Smith. I can even open the door. Yell, Dr. Smith! Into nothingness. Say, well, I called him. Didn't answer. Just put out a call. Here's why. in all these lawsuits and all these depositions, everybody says if they'd only checked with my doctor, they'd have figured this thing out. Well, you know what? If they have confidence in the doctor, this is what happens. By the way, always, always, always say something nice about their doctor. Now, I believe in the immortal soul, and I never think that lying is good. But you aren't also under an obligation to tell every bit of the truth every moment in time. Okay? So, let's say you think their doctor's a great guy. I'd say, oh, Dr. Smith, I really like him. Gives great care to his patients. I'm just glad that you've got such a good doctor. Now, what if you think he's dumber than whale shit? I can always say something like, we see a lot of his patients. Yeah? A lot of people like him. Okay? Of course, a lot of people like professional wrestling, too. So that doesn't say a lot, but at least it's not saying something rude. Now, the other thing about this putting out the call is if they believe that if you speak to that doctor, they're going to get better care. They believe, by the way, if you like that doctor and you think he's a good doctor, you've complimented their choice, and they think then that you're a good doctor. It cements the system together. And be it on your head to ever use a rude word about another healthcare professional in that situation. You know, you never make a comment about anybody else's healthcare.